Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I have been instructed that I will just chant the verse because it's a very unusual meter, and then we'll do the synonyms responsibly. So today's verse, Vatsan munchan kvachit asamaye krosha shanjata hasa. Steyang svadyat yata dadipaya kalpitai steya yogai. Markan bhokshan vibhajati sachain nati bandham binnati. Dravya labhe sagriha kupito yat upakrosya tokan. Synonyms, please repeat. Vatsan, the calves. Munchan, releasing. Kvachit, sometimes. Asamaye, at odd times. Krosa sanjata hasa. After this, when the head of the house is angry, Krishna begins to smile. Steyam, obtained by stealing. Svadu, very tasteful. Ati, eats. Ata, thus. Dadipaya, pot of curd and milk. Kalpitai, devised. Steya yogai, by some sort of stealing process. Markan, to the monkeys. Bhokshan, giving to eat. Vibhajati, divides their portion. Sa, the monkey. Chait, if. Na, not. Ati, eats. Bandham, the pot. Bhinnati, he breaks. So that's referring to Krishna. Dravya labhe, when eatables are unavailable, or Krishna cannot find such pots. Sa griha kupita, he becomes angry at the residents of the house. Yati, he goes away. Upakrosya, irritating and pinching. Tokan, the small children. Would you please repeat? Our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will become angry at the householders. and for his revenge. He will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities would be presented to Mother Yashoda in the form of complaints. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and if he found no one there, he would release the calves before the time for the cows to be milked. The calves are actually supposed to be released when their mothers are milked, but Krishna would release them before that time, and naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the cowherd men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "Here is your Krishna doing mischief." But he would flee and enter another house, where he would again devise some means to steal butter and curd. Then the cowherd men would again try to capture him, saying, "Here is the butter thief. Better capture him." And they would be angry. But Krishna would simply smile, and they would forget everything. Sometimes in their presence, he would begin eating the curd and butter. There was no need for Krishna to eat butter, since his belly was always full. But he would try to eat it, or else he would break the pots and distribute the contents to the monkeys. In this way, Krishna was always engaged in mischief-making. If in any house he could not find any butter or curd to steal, he would go into a room and agitate the small children sleeping there by pinching them, and when they cried, he would go away. Trinadapi suni chena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. So this chapter, the way I see it, there are three sections. The first section was the appearance of Garga Muni and doing the name-giving ceremony for Balaram and Krishna. Today's verse is in the second part, which is a description of Krishna's naughty neighborhood activities. And that's setting up for the next chapter. Because in the next chapter is the Damodar Leela. And we see how on Diwali day, Yashoda is personally churning the butter and yogurt, because she can't understand why her son is so restless, doing all these naughty activities in other people's houses. Yashoda was thinking that perhaps what I'm giving him is not good enough. So on this Diwali day, where Yashoda is personally churning, Yashoda had some special cows. Amongst all of Nanda's thousands of cows, Yashoda had her own special, and they would give a special flavor. They would eat a certain kind of grass, and those cows would give a special flavor to the milk. So with the milk from those cows, Yashoda on that Diwali day was churning butter and yogurt in order to satisfy her restless Krishna. Then the third section of this chapter is when Krishna's class of playmates play a trick on Krishna and complain to Mother Yashoda that your son has eaten dirt. And of course Krishna protests, and Krishna says, "If you don't believe me, Just look into my mouth, and when Yashoda does, she sees the whole universe within the mouth of Krishna. Not only does she see the whole universe, but she sees herself and Krishna also. So Krishna, in this way, is completely bewildering Mother Yashoda. So what I'd like to read is how Prabhupada in Krishna book gives the synopsis of this second part, Krishna's naughty activities in the village of Vrindavan. So please try to hear this words of Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, and then I will say a few things. So here it is. A short time after this incident of Gargamuni visiting Nanda Maharaj, both Balaram and Krishna began to crawl on their hands and knees. When they were crawling like that, they pleased their mothers. The bells tied to their waist and ankles sounded fascinating, and they would move around very pleasingly. As I'm reading this, I'm reminded once again, I'm always reminded when I read Krishna book, the way Prabhupada has composed Krishna book, if you simply try to become absorbed, you can actually get some idea, some vision, some sense of what is the spiritual world. So try your best to really hear with rapt attention, because this Krishna book is very, very special. Sometimes, just like ordinary children, they would be frightened by others and would immediately hurry to their mothers for protection. Sometimes they would fall into the clay and mud of Vrindavan and would approach their mothers smeared with clay and saffron. They were actually smeared with saffron and sandalwood pulp by their mothers, but due to crawling over muddy clay, they would simultaneously smear their bodies with clay. As soon as they would come crawling to their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini would take them on their laps and, covering the lower portion of their saris, allow them to suck their breasts. And when the babies were sucking their breasts, the mothers would see small teeth coming in. Thus their joy would be intensified to see their children grow. Sometimes the naughty babies would crawl up to the cowshed, catch the tail of a calf, and stand up. The calves, being disturbed, would immediately begin running here and there, and the children would be dragged over clay and cow dung. To see this fun, Yashoda and Rohini would call all the neighboring friends, the gopis. Upon seeing these childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna, the gopis would be merged in transcendental bliss. And in their enjoyment, they would laugh very loudly. Both Krishna and Balaram were so restless that their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini, would try to protect them from cows, bulls, monkeys, water, fire, and birds while they were executing their household duties. Always being anxious to protect the children and to execute their duties, they were not very tranquil. In a very short time, both Krishna and Balaram began to stand up and slightly move on their legs. When Krishna and Balaram began to walk, other friends of the same age joined them, and together they began to give the highest transcendental pleasure to the gopis, specifically to Mother Yashoda and Rohini. All the gopi friends of Yashoda and Rohini enjoyed the naughty, childish activities of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. In order to enjoy further transcendental bliss, they all assembled and went to Mother Yashoda to lodge complaints against the restless boys. When Krishna was sitting before Mother Yashoda, all the elderly gopis began to lodge complaints against him so that Krishna could hear. They then said, "Dear Yashoda, why don't you restrict your naughty Krishna? He comes to our houses along with Balaram every morning and evening, and before the milking of the cows, they let loose the calves, and the calves drink all the milk of the cows. So when we go to milk the cows, we find no milk, and we have to return with empty pots. If we warn Krishna and Balaram about doing this, they simply smile charmingly. We cannot do anything. Also, your Krishna and Balaram find great pleasure in stealing our stock of yogurt and butter from wherever we keep it. When Krishna and Balaram are caught stealing the yogurt and butter, they say, 'Why do you charge us with stealing? Do you think that butter and yogurt are in scarcity in our house?' Sometimes they steal butter, yogurt, and milk and distribute them to the monkeys. When the monkeys are well fed and do not take any more, then your boys chide, 'This milk and butter and yogurt are useless. Even the monkeys won't take it.' And they break the pots and throw them hither and thither. If we keep our stock of yogurt, butter, and milk in a solitary dark place, your Krishna and Balaram find it in the darkness by the glaring effulgence of the ornaments and jewels on their bodies. If by chance they cannot find the hidden butter and yogurt, they go to our little babies and pinch their bodies so that they cry, and then they go away. If we keep our stock of butter and yogurt high on the ceiling, hanging on a swing, although it is beyond their reach, they arrange to reach it by piling all kinds of wooden crates over the grinding machine. And if they cannot reach, they make a hole in the pot. We think, therefore, that you better take all the jeweled ornaments from the bodies of your children." On hearing this, Yashoda would say, "All right, I will take all the jewels from Krishna so that he cannot see the butter hidden in the darkness." But then the gopis would say, "No, no, don't do this. What good will you do by taking away the jewels? We do not know what kind of boys these are. But even without ornaments, they spread some kind of effulgence so that even in darkness they can see everything." Then Mother Yashoda would inform them, "All right, keep your butter and yogurt carefully so that they may not reach it." In reply to this, the gopis said, "Yes, actually we do so. But because we are sometimes engaged in our household duties, these naughty boys enter our house somehow or other and spoil everything. Sometimes, being unable to steal our butter and yogurt, out of anger, they pass urine on the clean floor and sometimes spit on it. Just see your boy now. He is hearing this complaint. All day they simply make arrangements to steal our butter and yogurt. And now they are sitting just like very silent good boys. Just see his face." When Mother Yashoda thought to chastise her boy after hearing all the complaints, she saw his pitiable face, and smiling, she did not chastise him. Thank you for listening to Srila Prabhupada's nice description in Krishna book. So, Krishna's lila, although it is being performed in the material world. These activities are all absolute, transcendental spiritual activities. When God comes to the material world, He does not become affected by the material energy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly warned us that anyone who thinks that God becomes affected by the material modes of nature when He appears in the material world, such a person is an atheist, because it contradicts the very notion of what we mean by this word God. By definition, and the word God, according to how we learn it from Srila Prabhupada, is a very vast description. So, one aspect of God, one of the most important aspects of God, He always remains transcendental. There is a description in Prabhupada's Ishopanishad. And Prabhupada uses two words to describe God: prophylactic, antiseptic. When Krishna comes to this material world, He can never become contaminated, no matter what He does. He cannot become contaminated. So later, we will read the chapters of the Rasa Leela, and apparently Krishna and the gopis will violate normal moral codes of strict Vedic culture. So it is important to get a firm understanding that no matter what Krishna does, no matter what God does, it is absolutely perfect, pure, and good. He cannot perform a sinful activity. He cannot come under the law of karma. He cannot come under the grips of the material energy. And then the other understanding of God is that He's so powerful and so pure, any impure thing that comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. So these are the two, at least one angle of vision, two qualities of what is God, which one of the billion reasons why we are not God. Anyone who professes a philosophy that we are God, that is utter rascaldom. It is atheism, because it means you do not understand what is God. So God, first of all, cannot become contaminated. And second of all, any impure thing, contaminated thing, coming in contact with Krishna, that thing becomes purified. The example given is the sun. The sun is so powerful that it can purify a contaminated pond. And yet, because of the sun's potency, the sun never becomes affected, although it is disinfecting the contaminated reservoir of water. The sun is, in the Vedic scriptures, God or Krishna is compared to the sun in so many ways. Even Lord Chaitanya himself, Krishna Surya Sama, that Krishna is like the sun and Maya is just like the darkness. So, Krishna is appearing 5,000 years ago in this land of Rajabhumi, performing his pastimes, and the residents of Vrindavan are so special because they are unaware of the majesty and the omnipotency of God in the form of Krishna In other words, for them, God is Vishnu Narayan. Krishna, to them, is not God. He's just Krishna. He is just someone that they can't understand, they can't explain, but everyone loves Krishna in Vrindavan. Not only the residents of Vrindavan, the animals, the plants, the trees, the land, everything, everyone in Vrindavan simply loves Krishna. And they're not concerned whether or not Krishna is God. In that famous lecture, Prabhupada once spoke, I believe in New York. He was explaining the Jai Radha Madhava song. And Prabhupada was saying that the residents of Vrindavan are not harassed by considering whether Krishna is God or not. And he says, maybe he's some demigod. And also in that very same short lecture, Prabhupada points out that the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to become one of the Gopi Janas. I like that very much. Who else likes that? Yes. Prabhupada is telling us that this Krishna consciousness movement is unique and very, very special. Unique. How is it unique? Prabhupada is telling us repeatedly, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. All that requires is acceptance and faith. Unfortunately, some years ago, I was doing a home program, and one devotee, very advanced, very knowledgeable, he knew so much Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, he was more knowledgeable than me by terabytes. He was like so much, knew so much more. So my preaching is Krishna Consciousness 101. Basic, simple. I've been doing that for so many years now. So he's heard me say so many times, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you will go back home, back to God. And he said, I don't believe that. I said, I can't help you. Because in my preaching, the bottom line is, you have to accept Prabhupada's philosophy. I don't care about this person, this acharya, this... Stop it. What does Prabhupada say? That's it. Don't overcomplicate it. Just accept Prabhupada and be happy. That's why I like to make a joke sometimes. Chant 16 rounds and be happy whether you like it or not. And then there's that story in England where Prabhupada told his servant, go away. Because you're never happy. You're always morose. Prabhupada was telling him, if you're a devotee, you should be happy. You should be jolly. You're always morose. Go wherever you like. So Prabhupada didn't want to be around any downers. So yes. Prabhupada has given us everything we need. I think I don't know exactly where it's written, but Prabhupada said, I put everything in the first canto. Okay. Read the first canto. Jai. And there's another instruction where Prabhupada said, learn a few books very thoroughly. So I try to do that. Learn it thoroughly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One last thing, and then we'll have some discussion. The other day, I had to drive my wife. Her car was in an accident, so we took the car in. So we're waiting for the place to give us an estimate. So I see on the table these magazines. So there was one magazine, the vegan magazine. I said, let me see what's in here. So I had recipes and this and that. And then I saw it was like their mission statement. And that's when I got angry. They had all these quotes from these doctors. How milk is not meant for human consumption. That got me really angry. Steam was coming up. And it was some other stupid quotes from doctors. How milk is not good. And I was thinking, what did Prabhupada hammer? Liquid religion. Milk is liquid religion. And I remember very distinctly where it was mentioned, Prabhupada, the milk, they're putting vitamin D, fish oil, in the milk. Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. The benefit of the milk outweighs the contamination. That's revolutionary. So, and I like to, I like to make a joke. Krishna is not vegan. So, of course, nowadays there's this discussion about protected cows, this, that. I'm not getting into that. Don't bring it up. I don't care. Leave me alone. Okay? Take it up with GBC. And it's like... But our duty is to present Prabhupada's philosophy. That's our responsibility. Not to become trendy, but to present Prabhupada's philosophy. That's my duty. Not my philosophy, but Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purport. Anyway, I'm sure I'm going to get clobbered, so let's open the floor for Ishtagosti. All right, shoot.
The slaughter of the cows, they also...
I have heard one good argument, which I'm going to start using. That, because some people say we should not buy regular milk because we're supporting that industry. But I was given, I don't remember who, one devotee told me, but this is a difference. Because the milk we buy, what do we do with it? We offer it to Krishna. So the cow that gave that milk is getting benefit because the milk from her was being offered to Krishna. So we're doing that cow a favor.
Thank you, Prabhu.
There you can go. Let's go.
Nirantara Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. Nirantara Prabhu, you know, you mentioned about the four pillars or principles of ISKCON that every devotee has to follow in addition to 16 rounds. In the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, when Maharaj Parikshit encounters Kaliyuga coming and hitting the legs of the cows, actually those four legs of the cows are representing these four vices, the pillars that Srila Prabhupada is so particular about, because gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, all these actually represent those legs. So for a sane devotee, a devotee who is really reading Srila Prabhupada's purports and books, you can see that correlation, you can see that whatever Prabhupada is saying, whether you like it or not, like you said, whether you like it or not, it is for our benefit, because he is actually representing what actually was the first symptom of Kali Yuga.
Very good. Thank you for sharing. Satchitanoy Das.
In your reading about Mother Yasoda, out of love for Krishna, she figured out somehow that how is my song going other places when we have, maybe I'm not giving the best. So she chooses some particular cows who were like the most, or she actually had some, how do you say, grass? There was some particular grass.
Yes. So these were special cows, her cows, and they were fed special grass.
Right. Out of love, the best. So in a similar situation, I was just thinking that out of love, in that principle, if devotees eventually wants to offer the best to Krishna, right now we're apparently caught up. What can we do? And we might even justify a little bit. Good reason, maybe. Who knows? It can be debatable. But out of love, and trying to do the best for Krishna, what do you think? It wouldn't be that, you know, overrides any other arguments of whichever this side, that side, in offering
yes.
the best.
Every temple, every devotee is trying to give the best to Krishna. So, yes, that is the principle. But Prabhupada also was very pragmatic and practical. Our philosophy is not crazy. So, what is the expression? Do the needful. So, if you can get the non-violent, I forget the term. What's the term they use? Ahimsa milk. If you can get it, fine. If you can't, do the next best thing. You try your best. Whether it be your chanting or your preaching, your deity worship, you try your best. If you can't do the best, do the next best. You can't do that, do the next best. The big main thing is, am I trying? As long as I'm trying, I'm good. Yes, Prabhu, in the microphone.
I have one question, and depending on your answer, I might have another question.
Go ahead.
So, are only the cows in the spiritual world dear to Krishna, or also the cows in the material world?
All the cows.
Okay, so I have a question on that. The cow body is just a material body, so that means a conditioned soul is within that body. And also, according to Bhagavad Gita, if you slaughter a cow, then your chances are you become a cow in the next life to be slaughtered.
Correct.
So the cows in the material world that are dear to Krishna are more or less people that have slaughtered cows in the past. So why are those conditioned souls more dear to Krishna than other conditioned souls?
No, that wasn't your question. All souls are dear to Krishna, and depending on their relationship to Krishna, they become more dear. So I'm missing your point. The ones that get slaughtered, yes?
Yeah, it says that cows are very dear to Krishna.
Yes.
But the cow body is just a material body.
So yes.
Why is a cow, a conditioned soul in a cow body, especially dear to Krishna?
Because there are distinctions in the material world. It's not all one. There is distinction. So cows are given special preference in the material world. That's why it is the most sinful activity. There are levels and degrees of sinful culpability. So a cow is considered sacred. It's one of the seven mothers. It's one of the seven mothers. Our whole principle. Why we don't eat, why kill cows? We don't kill our mother. We're not barbarians. So there is distinctions. It's not all one. So amongst animals, cow is at the top of the list. She is the symbol of liquid religion. Okay? Does it make sense?
Kind of. But those cows that are being slaughtered, they're just getting their past karma because they probably slaughtered other cows in the past.
That's all right. They took birth as a cow. So, especially if that milk that they're giving is offered to Krishna, very good. Okay? Next. We got Archita.
Hi, well, Narottam Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. On the surface, it seems like a good calculation, but we can't calculate like that. You cannot calculate that every soul that's in a cow's body is getting karma for killing cows in the past. You can't calculate. Karma is so complicated, you can't figure it out. Maybe this is the very first time that this particular soul is in a cow's body. And the cow, as we know, is a gateway to human life.
Right.
To humans in the mode of goodness.
Correct.
So the devotee approaches every living entity, whether the entity is in a cow's body or an ant's body or a worm's body, as being dear to Krishna. That's how the devotee sees. And therefore the devotee tries not to harm any living entity unnecessarily. That's just the way you look at it. You can't think that, well, this you know, soul in this cow's body slaughtered cows in the past, and therefore we can be callous towards them. We can.
Not necessarily slaughtered cows, but they're getting their sinful reaction.
But everybody's getting sinful reaction. Who's not? So therefore we should disregard everybody?
So why is that material body especially dear to Krishna?
Because it performs a function that Krishna wants. Krishna in the spiritual, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the cows are giving unlimited quantities of milk for Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna set up a system in the material world where we can sort of experience that the cow is taking grass and straw and other things that you don't want and you can't eat and turning it into milk.
Mystic power of the cow.
Mystic power of the cow. So Krishna has arranged that. So you have to respect every living entity, but particularly go Brahmana Itayacha. Prabhupada pointed out in
yes,
one lecture.
Yes, first
right. cow, not even first Brahmana,
cow, not even
first
Brahmana.
Cow, and then the Brahmana.
And like I sometimes make a joke, don't mess with God's favorite animal. Okay? Yes? She has a question.
I just want clarification.
Can you
thank
speak
you.
Loud and clear?
Sure. Thank you so much for the lecture, Prabhu, for coming out here. I want clarification. You say, you know, trying to do what's better. So I don't know if while Prabhupada was here that cows were suffering the way that they are right now, specifically here in America, where certain amounts of blood and pus are permitted into the milk and the animals are treated so horribly. And so what I wonder from you, is it better to continue to support that industry by creating...
I just answered that. The cow, that milk, that cow who gave that milk is getting benefit if you offer the milk to Krishna.
Where's
do you accept that or
coming
not?
From?
Huh?
Where do you get that from?
Okay, does anybody agree with me Okay. So is it a consensus due to karma? If the milk from the cow is offered to Krishna, does the cow get benefit? Yes. So if you don't understand this point, I'm not going to argue or debate. First, you have to understand this point. If you don't understand this point, there's no need to go on. It's the understanding the same way. In Krishna book, there is a description of how the tree, something about the trees, get benefit. Yes, Naikatma. Say louder, please.
Again, I was going to just confirm the statement that you just made, that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains patram pushpam palam toyam, that by the offering the fruits of the tree or the flowers, those living entities, they benefit. The living entity which is in that tree, which is in that flower. Similarly, the milk the fruit that's being offered of the cow is being offered to the Lord. The living being who provided that fruit is also benefiting. It's very simple.
Yeah, I mean, that's
very simple logic.
It's a very fundamental principle of our philosophy. Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Lurantra. That was a lovely class and nice reading from Prabhupada's books. Really wonderful. I'm kind of amazed everyone cares so much about the cows that they want to liberate them. But the thing is that you while you drink that milk, you're drinking a lot of antibiotics, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And that's going to affect the consciousness, because whatever we take into our body will affect our consciousness. And instead of that milk being liquid love or liquid religion, it's liquid suffering. And that's what you're drinking, and that's what you're taking in large quantities, because devotees, they're eating a lot of this stuff, and they're getting very large quantities of antibiotics and growth hormones and all kinds of weird stuff, and a lot of suffering they're taking inside. And that changes the way the instead of getting fine brain cells with which to understand these wonderful books, we're getting something else. And that's the reason why we need to, you know, we need to create our own dairies, and we need to protect the cows and set an example to the world, and set an example to the vegans also, that that we shouldn't support the mistreatment of cows, but we also need to have milk for our intelligence.
So my question to you, this is a very good point. My question to you, so this milk that you're talking about, if it's offered to Krishna, do you drink it?
Which milk?
The milk that you don't like.
No.
You don't drink it.
No.
So it's not prasadam.
That's questionable. I don't know. Krishna usually doesn't accept blood and pus, usually.
So here's where we get to... Well, I'm going to end class right here. And then we can, like I said, I'm not into it. You can fight from now until... But Prahlad Maharaj offered poison. Did Krishna accept the poison? Hare Krishna.